Chapter 37, let's hear the word of the Lord. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley that was full of bones and caused me to pass by them rounded about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I looked and beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. And he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up on their feet, and became an exceedingly great army. And he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you out of your graves. And ye shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Praise be unto God for this reading and the hearing of His precious and His eternal word. Historically, what's going on is that Nebuchadnezzar has come, taken the northern half, which is more than half, really, of the land of Israel, captive, and they are captive in a foreign land. Ezekiel, as a young man, contemporary of Jeremiah, has been taken captive and is living in a captive situation in a foreign land. It's a tough time. It's a tough time for him to be alive. It's a tough time for any Jew to be alive. All of Israel has not been captured. Judah is still in the land. Judah is still at home. Judah is still part of what's going on over in Jerusalem. And yet, they have not repented. They saw what happened to the northern country. They saw what was going on the world scene. They saw all the things that were happening. And what did they do? They went on and lived like they were. And their preachers, that is their priests and prophets, said, oh, it's okay. Everything's going to be okay. Don't worry about it. Everything's fine. You just keep on going. Just keep on doing what you're doing. Everything's all right. Don't worry about it a bit. Well, Prophet Jeremiah was walking the streets of Jerusalem saying this is not true. The prophet Ezekiel is walking the streets of Babylon in Mesopotamia prophesying the same message to the people. And the message is that God ultimately will restore his people, but before he does, he's going to teach you a lesson. Either you learn or God will teach you. And I have to tell you, folks, You don't want God to have to come down and have a private lesson with you, because God is a good teacher. He's a good God, but He's a stern teacher, and He's an effective teacher, and He can teach you lessons that nobody can interfere with. This is exactly what's happening to Israel. So God is prophesying through Ezekiel, and He's speaking through Ezekiel, and He's telling the people through Ezekiel that they need to come clean. They need to get right with God. They need to do what's right with God, but they haven't done it. So God's Spirit has begun to move. And we think, oh, that's wonderful. God's Spirit's moving. Well, it may be and it may not be. What God does do is speak to a young man who is a priest, but he becomes a street preacher, really. He speaks to a young man named Ezekiel. And this is Ezekiel's experience with God as you read the book of Ezekiel. I'm sorry Henrietta could not be with us today. I had hoped she would be here for this message. She has heard this message once before. I preached this message in Vermont. I don't know if you're aware, but Henrietta is an ordained minister in the Church of God, Anderson, Indiana. And I preached in a conference in Vermont, and she was ordained in that conference. And this is the message I preached, was for the new ministers, first congregation and first message. So God begins to speak to Ezekiel. And the first thing he does is he has a vision. And the vision carries him out to the riverside where the captives are. And the captives are sad and they're down in the mouth and they're discouraged. And they are the ones that the psalmist speaks about. They ask us a song. They required of us a song. But how can we sing the songs of the Lord in a strange land? And the Lord spoke to Ezekiel, sent him down and set him among those people. So that wasn't too bad. We just need to encourage these people. They're down in the mouth. We'll tell them God's going to move. We'll tell them things are going to be better. We tell them everything's good. So that's not too bad of an assignment. So Ezekiel, as a new minister, thinks, well, everything's going good. This is going to be it. Then the Spirit of God comes and carries him all the way across the desert to Jerusalem. And here he is in the temple in Jerusalem, and he looks at the people, and there they are, the same deal. The priests are saying, don't worry about a thing. Everything's all right. Everything's going to be good. You don't have to worry about anything. What we need to do is go build ourselves houses and build up land and build up all we've got. And don't say anything about getting right with God. Don't say anything about doing anything with God. Say anything about changing anything with God. So it doesn't sound too bad. Here these priests are. They need to be reprimanded. So Ezekiel's going to tell the priests that they need to get right with God. Well, who is Ezekiel going to preach to? Who is his congregation? He's got Judah over here in Jerusalem. He's got Israel over here in Babylon. His congregation is divided. It's in two parts. And God has given him a message to deliver to the children of Israel, to the house of Judah and the house of Israel. And he's supposed to speak to them. So God picks him up and carries him away. How about that? The hand of the Lord was upon me. And every time he says the hand of the Lord was upon me, he gets carried away in the Spirit. Now, he doesn't fall out in the Spirit, but he gets carried away in the Spirit. By the way, Brian, I was glad to see Brian get touched by the Lord this morning. God bless his heart. Brian's adopted us, and I like that. We're just glad he got touched by the Lord this morning. And Ezekiel says, the hand of the Lord is on me. And the burden of the hand of the Lord is there. And when it happens, I don't know if you think this, some people think this is a flying saucer, really, because there's wheels inside of wheels turning about God, and the cherubim are waving their wings. And when they do, Ezekiel gets carried away, and he carries him to a place and says, this is your congregation. Preach to them. You say, well, it says prophesy. Let me tell you something. The word prophesy can mean foretelling, but it's not always mean foretelling. It means forthtelling. It means telling how it is. And so God says to Ezekiel, this is your congregation, preach to them. Prophesy to this congregation. And he looks at the congregation, and you know what he has to say? But they're dead. Wonder how many preachers are walking and looking at a congregation like that this morning. The congregation that Ezekiel has been given to preach to is dead. Now, it's not always been dead. Once upon a time, this congregation was alive. Once upon a time, this congregation was an army and was standing tall. And you say, how do you know? Those bones just weren't miraculously put out there. Those bones are the remainders of an army called Israel that was to have done the work of God, but they backslid. So we've got a dead, backslidden congregation who have no hope. The Holy Ghost, or God Himself, asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? Can these bones live again? And he said, well, he had a safe answer. It's always the right answer. God knows. I don't care what question you ask, the answer is God knows. And when he asked him, said, Ezekiel, can these bones live? And he simply said, God, you know, because he don't know. They don't think they can live again. They say there's no hope. They say that we're never going to be any better. They say we've been defeated. So what we have is a congregation that needs unity, a congregation that needs strength, a congregation that needs the Spirit. We have a congregation that's sitting in a backslidden condition without hope, who have dried up. Wonder how many of us fit into that. Now here's the young preacher Ezekiel, and there's the congregation, a bunch of backslid, dried up bones, and the Bible goes to great lengths to say they are very dry. They've been bleached in the sun. They've been there a long time. And the whole house of Israel is pictured as carcasses bleached in the sun. Everything's gone but the skeletons. And the bones are apart, and the bones are lying everywhere, and the bones are scattered all over the valley. And there's a great number of bones. There's a whole bunch of them. And the question is, what are we going to do? Preach to them. Preach the word to them, Ezekiel. Tell them what God said. Tell them the message from heaven. My brothers and sisters, you folks do not need me to come here and make a homily this morning. You do not need me to come here and draw up on paper some kind of a sermon to hand to you. It may be theologically correct, grammatically correct. It may be good enough for downtown New York City. But what this congregation needs, what every congregation needs, Charlie, it's a word from God. You don't need a word from Eddie. Eddie didn't die on the cross. Eddie didn't raise from the dead. Eddie didn't send the Holy Ghost down. My brothers and sisters, you need, everyone needs, a message from God. So what does Ezekiel do? It's his congregation. This is the one God has given. And it is divided. I mean, it's not just divided in two sections, and it is Judah and Israel. The country of Israel has been divided. But it's not just divided that way. It's torn limb for limb, bone for bone, shoulder for shoulder. You remember the little song we used to sing when we were kids? Foot bone connected to the ankle bone. You remember that song? And it goes on up till they all get together. Well, this is what Ezekiel is saying. His congregation is not together. His congregation has no unity. His congregation has no connection with each other. And they're scattered in every direction and in every way. And when he looks at that valley of dry bones, it says, can they live? And he said, God, you know. He said, well, preach to them, Ezekiel. And so Ezekiel begins to preach. Now, that seems like an impossibility, doesn't it? Why would you preach to these dead, dry bones? Why would you preach to this scattered bunch? And what does he preach? He preached, get together, folks. Get in unity. get in harmony with one another, get together. And so what happens when he preaches? There's a noise starts, and he hears something coming. And he said, what is that noise? And he starts looking, and that's when the bones start coming up. And the foot bone connects to the ankle bone connects to leg bone connects to the hip bone, and it continues till every bone in that valley has got up and connected itself to where it was supposed to be, and now they've got unity. Now that they've got unity, what's we going to do? Preach to them, Ezekiel. Preach to them. You've got them together. You've got them there. Now preach to them. And so what happens when he preaches to them? They begin to grow flesh. They begin to grow muscles and sinews and ligaments. They begin to grow skin and hair. And there they are. They're a complete army. And now the bones can't fall apart. You know why the bones can't fall apart? Because the muscles are holding them together. The muscles are strengthening them. What this congregation needed was unity. But when it got unity, what this congregation needed was the Word of God to give them strength to bind them together. Because if they don't have that strength, then the bones are just going to fall apart. The bones are not going to stay together. The unity will not be there. But the unity will continue because they have preached, and the sinews and the skin and the ligaments have come together to hold the bones together and to make them what they ought to be. But there's a problem with this army. It's still dead. They've got unity. They've got strength. They're holding together. We're going somewhere, but they're not alive. They're not moving. They're not going anyplace. They're not capable of doing anything. So what do we have to do? We have to preach to them. This congregation is kind of like when the Lord made man. Do you remember when the Lord made Adam? What did he make him out of? The dust of the ground. The Lord got together, dust of the ground. All the other animals just sprung out, but God specifically made man with his own hands in his own image and after his own likeness. And God made Adam, and sometimes I look at the Sistine Chapel ceiling and I see the finger of God reaching out to touch the finger of Adam, who is alive. But that's not true. That's not true. The truth is that Adam, when God made him, and God said, there he is, he's a man. But what was wrong with him? He did not have the Spirit. He was void of the Spirit. And so God did what to Adam? Breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Now the word for breath and the word for spirit is the same word. And if you look at it, you come to understand that Adam was dead and lifeless without the breath of God. So is the church. There can be churches that have unity, but they're unified in the wrong thing. They're unified in the wrong way. They're unified about the wrong thing. There can be churches that have unity and have strength and sinew and all of that, but they're not living and doing the work that they're called to do. So what happens? Prophesy to them, Ezekiel. Preach to them, Ezekiel. Preach what? Preach the Holy Ghost to them. Preach Spirit to them. Tell them they need the Spirit of God to be in their lives. Tell them they need the Spirit of God to be in their souls and in their worship and in what they're doing. Tell them they need not only the unity and strength, but they need the life of the Holy Ghost. And so he prophesies, and from the winds of the earth comes the wind of the Spirit of God. And the breath of God comes blowing. And when the breath of God comes blowing, it enters in to these bodies that are everywhere, connected but dead. And when it enters into them, what happens? They stand upright and they begin to sing, onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. My friends, that's what happened. You say, well, why didn't they just get up and fight anyway? Because they didn't have anything to fight with. They didn't have anything to do it with. When they came to the Spirit and the Spirit of God came and came into their lives, it changed them from a dead group of carcasses to a living army that could stand up and could walk and could get the work of God. Can these bones live again? Oh, my friend Spurgeon said many years ago that a decayed church could be brought to life if someone would just preach the word to them. And this is what Ezekiel is instructed to do. Ezekiel, these people are dead. They're divided. They think there's no hope. They think there's no way that they can get together. And Ezekiel could have said, listen, Lord, I'm a priest. I've been to the seminary. I've studied the scriptures. I've read the history. I've studied philosophy. I know what's going on here. Why are you giving me this dead, disunified congregation? Why are you giving me this crowd of people here that don't know their right hand from their left, don't know where their knee bone's connected to the elbow or where it's connected at? Why are you doing this? But Ezekiel listens to God. And let me tell you something. You need to read the ministry of Ezekiel. I mean, he had to lay 390 days on his side and eat an ounce of food every day for 390 days. He had to, when his wife died, he had to not shed a tear or grieve over her in any way that anybody could see, because God wanted him to teach them lessons. Things happened in Ezekiel's life that were hard to deal with and hard to live with. But God used him. And you know what the answer in the end was? He said, take these two sticks. This is Judah and this is Israel. They had been divided after the death of Solomon by Rehoboam his son. And he had done such stupid and terrible things with the taxation and all that was going on that it divided the country. The people tried to stick together, but they couldn't because the leadership was so bad, and they divided. And so God's people for hundreds of years had been divided, and God only wanted one nation of Israel. He only wanted one, and he said, take these sticks and put them together. And he did, and they became one. God says, I'm going to move, but you're going to learn your lessons first. So Ezekiel prophesies that the country's coming back. And let me tell you, my friend, even now, this prophecy has been fulfilled. Even now, my friend, the Jews have come from the graves that they were buried in all over the world, from Russia and America and Europe, from Africa and Asia. Everywhere in the world, the Jews have come back to Israel and are prospering and living in their land. But you know what? They're back and they're together. They're not Israel and Judah anymore. They are the Israel, the Jews. They are only one country and one people. They don't worship idols. They've never, ever gone back to idol worship. They've never gone back to that. But what's the problem? They're together. They have sinews. What do they need? They need the Holy Ghost. Israel needs an outbreak of the Holy Ghost. Israel needs an outbreak of the Spirit of God moving among the people. America needs an outbreak of the Spirit of God moving among the people. Bethel Chapel needs an outbreak of the Spirit of God moving among the people. Every church in every place in America needs an outbreak of the Spirit of God. I mean, there are many places that the bones are together. There are many places that the sinew and the skin is upon the bones and they're held together. But my friend, the wind of God's breath has not blown through them. How we need the Spirit of God to move in the midst of God's people. How we need people who are praying in the Spirit. People who are reading. You say, reading in the Spirit? Charlie, you ever been reading the Bible in the Spirit? Absolutely. Absolutely. Fern, you've been reading the Bible in the Spirit. I know you have. Earl, you've been reading the Bible in the Spirit. Glenn, do you ever read the Bible and be in the Spirit? Absolutely. Some people think, oh, it's not the Spirit if you're not dancing. It's not the Spirit if you're not speaking in tongues. It's not the Spirit if you're not clapping your hands. The Spirit can and does do all of those things, but the Spirit can read you the Word and put the Word in your mouth and bring the Word to pass. And my friend, our religious structure in America is second to none. There's never been a religious structure anywhere in the world to equal what we have in America right now. But my friend, let me tell you something. If every American would go to the polls and vote Christian principles, the country would change immediately. But how can you expect the world to change when Christians don't do their part to start with? Brothers and sisters, you have an opportunity this week to make yourself known, and I challenge you to do it. Don't let Election Day pass and not go vote. And you say, well, what's that got to do with anything? What we need, my friend, is the Spirit to move through the people in America that we can get up and unify ourselves and get strengthened in ourselves and be filled with the Spirit of God and let Him bless, let Him touch. Can these bones live again? Yes, God, they can live again. And Ezekiel goes on to tell them they will live again, but not until they learn their lesson. And when they learned their lesson, God spoke to Cyrus, the king of Persia, and sent him back to Israel. And God spoke, as bad as Hitler was, my friend, as terrible as Hitler was, it became the catalyst to get the children of Israel back into Egypt, I mean into Israel, and to make them one country. And they are. But my friend, Israel needs it. America needs it. The world needs it. The wind to blow as it did on the day of Pentecost and to fill men's hearts with the power of God. Let us pray. Would you stand? Almighty and eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and your love and your mercy. We thank you for the opportunity we've had to be here this day and for the blessings of God in this service. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity of fellowship and friendship we have with other Christians. And Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you'll hear us and answer us. And pray that you'll move with your sweet blessings and great mercies. Lord, touch every heart here today and every soul. Lord, if there are some that the sun has bleached out and they're very dry, would you speak to them that they can come in the unity of the Spirit? Would you speak to them that they can be filled with the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of the Most High God can touch? Father, we pray that your blessings and mercies and fellowship will be upon us all and give us grace and strength, for it is in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Let us sing.